Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
This week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast is sponsored by Celestion and their incredible new Neo 250 copperback speakers. Sacrificing none of the delicious musicality of your favorite Celestions, the Neo 250 copperback is a neodymium speaker that supplies tons of tone without the signature cone breakup immediately associated with the classic Celestion growl. Rated at a monstrous 250 watts, the Neo 250 works together with your amp to provide fantastic dynamics, delivering all the headroom and touch sensitivity you could possibly need. All that at a modest £5, which is, that's like 2.2 kilograms. Check them out at Lean Business in the UK, TubeAmp Doctor in Germany, Algam in France, Eco Music in Italy, Eberloud in Spain, plus gear for Music Toman and Backstrop. And if you're in the US, then you've got retailers like Sweetwater, Musician's Friend AMS, Parts Express, Loudspeakers Plus, and of course Amazon. For more details, check them out, Celestion.com. Hello and welcome to a Summer NAMM 2019 special edition episode of the world's number one guitar podcast, Guitar Nerds. I'm your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Mark Packham.
Summer, summer, summertime.
And Jay Cross.
Hi.
There, exactly. So, well, wonderful. We have a Summer NAMM special because there is an awful... It was a busy Summer NAMM.
Because there is an awful lot.
It was an awful lot.
Oh, an awful lot. Okay.
An awful lot of Summer NAMM products. It feels like a busier Summer NAMM to me than it normally is. Certainly more new exciting stuff there. Do you think Summer NAMM's getting bigger? Is it becoming more important?
No. I think it's that there's certain brands that have too much stuff every year to release it all at NAMM, and then they do the kind of the second half at Summer NAMM. I don't think there's more stuff released. I just think it's that the big brands are releasing more and more stuff.
I actually think there is more stuff coming out, but also I think that there's just more awareness of other companies releasing stuff. So we get, it could just be our little bubble of interest is, you know, blinding us from the real world. And none of this really matters to anyone except for the three people sat around this table.
Pretty much.
But, I think it's bigger. I don't know. I can't really remember how much more stuff was announced last year.
I just remember not caring about Summer NAMM too much. And now it feels like a major, major event. Certainly, Fender and Squire have released an absolute ton of stuff.
Yeah.
Before we delve into the news, though,
we're going straight in. This is unprecedented.
No, we're not going to go straight in, but we do.
Are we going to talk about our empty chair?
Matt Knight's not here this week.
Yeah,
Matt Knight has just got back from Summer NAMM.
He's dead, basically.
He's exhausted. Yeah. He is an exhausted man, and so asked if he could forfeit this week.
If he really cared about us, he'd have stayed up.
Yeah,
all he's got to do is turn on his computer and talk into a microphone for an hour and a half.
He was like, I feel terrible. It's, you know. Whatever.
People would still him the best, even if he was just really tired and grumpy.
Speaking of liking him the best, we should talk about the results. The results are in for last week. Mark Packham's special episode.
If you haven't listened to last week's, listen to that before you listen to this episode. Because we're about to spoil what happened in last week's Great Guitar Shop Draft 2019.
It was the, yes, the 2019 Guitar Shop, Dream Guitar Shop?
Dream Guitar Shop
Dream
Draft.
Dream Guitar Shop
like
Draft 20.
Fantasy Guitar Shop Draft.
Fantasy Guitar Shop Draft 2019. Yes, the results are in. We put a poll out on the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/Guitar Nerds Forum. And Matthew Knight came out on top.
You should have read it backwards.
Oh, should I?
Yeah.
Oh.
Should have said in fourth place.
Oh, sorry, you're right. Okay. Tahug in Tam came first.
Very good. Very good. No, yeah, I meant like fourth to first.
Oh, okay. Is that because first, you wanted
first
me...
worst.
Second, wait, what?
Second's the best, yeah. Yeah. No, wait, hang on a sec.
No,
like, first it. Worst was Mark.
Right.
The first worst. Second worst was me.
Yeah.
Third worst.
Yeah.
I don't really understand this, but you.
Yeah.
And then worst.
No, best worst.
No,
best.
Worst.
Oh, no, the least.
It was the worst, worst. Yeah, yeah.
Was Matt.
Was Matt.
And honestly, that simply comes down to people being idiots and liking Matt too much.
Matt's drop genuinely
and also,
was very
you
good.
You being up there, that's just people. That's people who vote for you are the people whose friend requests you haven't accepted yet.
Right, yeah.
And they're trying to get in.
I have a lot of those.
That is the weirdest thing, you accept any friend request.
Yeah, I do. But you've announced it again. I don't accept fake people, though. Like, I do check them, you know, to make sure they're legitimate people.
I don't think you do, because I've also had people friend request me, and the two people that they're always friends with, Joe Branton, Ryan Burke, and... Some of these people don't look real. You two are just doing it to boost your numbers.
I have an authentication process. I'll
sure
you
do.
Know. Yeah, I
sure
do.
What's
anyway,
your authentication process?
I just check that, you know, that they're real. I check that they're pictures.
All right, Mr. Zuckerberg.
My authentication process is I authenticate them.
I check if they are real.
Anyway, yes, Matthew Knight came top of the list. His shop was very good. He did something that none of the rest of us did. It was that he stuck to a single thing and he tried to make his shop premium and full of like cool sort of boutique high-end bits and bobs.
As
he
I
made
said,
his
as
a
I
good s- place
no,
to go.
Shut up, Joe. Sorry. As I said on the group... Uh-huh. To people who were saying, oh, you know, your shop's cool, but Matt's just, oh, it'd be so great to go and hang out there and check out stuff. Yeah, it would be cool to go out there and hang out and check out stuff. You know what you're not going to do there? Buy anything.
Well,
and you know where you are going to come and buy stuff? At your old mate Jay Cross's Fender and Squire Emporium.
Well, obviously, you know, people thought they would
and,
buy
you know,
stuff from the brand.
I tell you what you're not going to get at your
at my
Poxy guitar shop. Is the MXR ISO brick. You can only get that from the exclusive retailer of those things, my shop.
Yeah, that is true. But well done. You beat the host, Mark Packham, who came in last.
I don't know why, because I thought mine was great.
I thought yours was terrible, and you did deserve last place. But I feel
I'm going
that
back to the document. I need to see the evidence.
I feel
I
that
can't remember
you,
what I
you
picked.
Had you were so focused on hosting that maybe you some of your choices weren't
no, I think
went
I,
to a normal Mark Packham standard.
Well, let's have a look. Marshall, great. Yes. Reverend, great. Yes.
Who's buying Marshall anymore?
Dan Electro.
Very small amount of people care about
Dan
Reverend.
Electro. Yes. JHS.
Again, niche.
JHS pedals, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Milkman amps. Okay, that's a bit niche, but it's a good brand.
It's
Wampler
just...
pedals, you know, one of the biggest boutique manufacturers. We got our acoustics covered by Atkin. Brilliant. Like, really good. You're going to regret this, folks. Chapman guitars, come on, one of the big internet brands. Charvel, if you want metal, we've got it. Alexander pedals, also niche. Look at that pedal coverage.
Anyway, moving on.
We got Wampler.
Yeah.
We got
on.
Alexander. We
moving
got
on.
JHS.
This is boring. This is boring.
Yes. Anyway, we do as much
mute
as that,
mute him.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I
you.
Might as well. I'll mute the second and third place, the third and fourth place people, shall I? And we'll just continue with the first and second place people.
Your last place in life, mate. Mute yourself.
anyway. I'm going to have to hurry us along. That was the results. Well done, listeners. Thank you very much for voting. And,
there's no hurry.
I've got to hurry along because it's the Summer NAMM special and we've got loads of stuff to talk about. Just before we do, you two went to a modular fair, the Brighton Modular Fair the other day. Slightly not 100% a guitar topic, but still a very interesting one. How was it?
Couldn't tell you anything about it, really, because it all looked amazing.
Were you on the source again?
No, not at all. It all looked amazing, and, you know, I had some conversations with people, and they were saying words I didn't understand, things like LFO and, like synthesizer.
Mr. Blue Sky.
Yeah, that one. Like everything that looked great. But what it made me realise the most is that I know absolutely nothing about modular gear.
So out of our depth.
Really? Like,
so out of our depth.
You know, been in and around guitar shops and music shops for nearly 20 years, and I didn't understand a single thing that I saw.
We just thought that our effects pedal sort of know-how would transcend to...
Completely. Yeah. Exactly that. Absolutely didn't. What was interesting, there were some guitar pedals there. So, weirdly, there was at least two... synth setups, because it was like a mix of like manufacturers, but also there was a room where people just bought their own stuff. At least two of those rigs had El Capistan as part of their rig. Couple of Boss DD3s as well.
El Capistan.
Yeah, couple of Boss DD3s, classic delay pedal. But yeah, mostly I felt like what it would be like, you know, if I took my mum to like NAMM, she wouldn't understand what anything was. And that's how I felt at the Modular Festival. Right. But yeah, what it's meant is I've been doing some reading on stuff and, you know, finding out key brands, finding out what's going on in the UK. But yeah, still a lot of learning to do. Because,
so Modular Nerds coming soon.
Yeah, it's like reading Shakespeare to a dog.
Yeah, it was really cool and it was very interesting. But like Mark says, I didn't really understand any of it. No. There was some cool stuff though. There was a couple of manufacturers and distributors there. So Source Distribution were there, who distribute both Moog and Rode and Eventide in the UK.
Oh, cool.
So there wasn't an H9 there, but there was an Eventide Rose, which is a pedal that I've not actually ever seen in the flesh.
Yeah,
right.
And unfortunately, I couldn't hear it because it was hooked up to something with a keyboard, which is something that I know literally nothing about. So I just looked at it and it looked nice.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely lovely.
And Roland were there as well. No Matt Knight, thankfully.
Yep.
He was in America. But yeah, it was interesting. Some of the... I tell you, you know, people might think that our community is nerdy, but...
Is it another level?
So as well as...
Were you like
being,
the cool kids?
It depends who you ask.
Right.
And basically everyone would say no.
Oh, okay.
But... what was really interesting was they had the kind of area where the manufacturers were, and I think there was a couple of shops there and a couple of distributors, and then there was a whole other section that was basically the DIY community, and that's people who had brought their own
home base, B&Q.
B&Q, yeah, basically, yeah. It was like that. No, they brought their own rigs, their own synths, their own modular setups that they had put together themselves and were just letting people have a go in them.
Oh, that's quite cool.
It was, but like I say, I didn't understand any of it. It was completely mad. There was one synth there that was called Deckard's Dream, which was really cool. Yeah. I thought that was a great name.
I don't know if you went in there, but the thing I understood even less was the video synthesis room. Which is
where was that?
It was around the back.
And no, I totally missed
it.
It's
just basically, so there was no audio because they're not. It's not like, oh, they're using synthesizers and then that sort of converts into whatever's going on the TV. No, they're using modular bits of kit to make visuals on these TVs. And it was absolutely bonkers. You know, I thought I couldn't be further from understanding what was going on. And then I went in the video synth room.
But there was no sound.
No sound. It was literally just using synthesizer parts to make stuff happen on a TV. And it just looked like teletext to me. I didn't really understand what's going on at all. But yeah, that is something that I've no idea. Absolutely no idea.
That's mad.
Yeah.
That's mad.
Yeah. I felt very out of my depth.
Well.
So following on from that, we did that yesterday morning. Yesterday evening, I went to a really cool show. And this show was a screening of a documentary, the 1989 documentary about the Apollo moon landings.
Right.
And what I hadn't realised was, and I'm pretty sure I've not got this turned around, but this documentary was Brian Eno was heavily involved in the sound composition for that.
Hence you going to see it.
Me going to see it, and of course it's, you know, the moon landings, and it was the 50th anniversary of the moon landing, which was one of humanity's greatest feats.
Well, if you believe that it happened, yes, I suppose it is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, even if you don't believe it happened. Another one of humanity's greatest feats, Stanley Kubrick just conning the world, you know.
It was a great deal.
However you look at it, it's a great feat. But the this documentary, which is great, it was soundtracked by a live orchestra performing Brian Eno's record Apollo, which is one of my absolute favourite records. If for people who don't know about it, go and listen to this song An Ending. You probably would recognise it. It's been used on a bunch of adverts and on TV shows in the past. It's on like one of the Planet Earths, right. I think, on BBC Nature documentary. And it was on. It was used on 28 Days Later as well. So you probably would recognise it. But it's just this unbelievable piece of music. But yeah, it was performed by a live orchestra. And some of the gear they were using was like quite interesting. I mean, the diversity of the instruments that were being played was bonkers, even by the individual people. You know, I think when you're good at one thing, you tend to be good at a load of it. So like, you know, there was a geezer playing a bass clarinet. And then after a while, he switched over to saxophone. And then the people who were playing flutes were also playing like, you know, synth, and there was a guitarist at the back. But what was really interesting was there was a guy playing pedal steel. And I think, and I was a bit far away, I couldn't quite see for sure, but I think he was using a Milkman amp.
Oh, yeah.
Which was really interesting. Oh, and that was just cool. Kind of behind his setup. But yeah, the whole thing sounded great. Although one thing I will say is it really had the feel of a load of punk gigs that I've been to where the band has rolled up like 20 minutes before they're supposed to go on, because the first maybe 15 minutes, well, the first like 10 minutes or so, you could audibly hear kind of stuff being brought, levels being brought up, you know, like they'd done a line check. They hadn't done a proper sound check or whatever.
Can we get a line check?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I thought that was really funny. There was a point where there were people singing, and I could see they were singing, but it took maybe 15 seconds or so for the faders to come up so that you could hear they were singing.
Slow gear. Probably had a slow gear.
Oh, that's probably what it
just
was.
Just on the whole mixer.
Yeah.
Just every channel going through the boss slow gear.
But yeah, it was dead good.
No, that sounds amazing. Well, we should talk about Summer Nam, because there is there's an absolute ton of stuff to get through. Very briefly, before we dive into the products released at Summer Nam, Line 6 Helix supplemented all the Summer Nam releases with a 2.8 software update.
You're not going to do a news jingle?
What? Do you think I should?
Well, this is news, isn't it?
Oh, I guess so. Here it is. Yes, thank you very much, Mark. I should have really got that in. Anyway, yeah, Line 6 Helix introduced the 2.8 update, which had a ton of stuff. And this should be interesting for people with and without Helixes. Of course, because this is the first update since
2.7.
Line 6 or Yamaha. since 2.7,
yeah. The first update since 2.7.
But it's the first since they've acquired Ampeg. So one of
really?
The, yeah, so one of
but
the
that
things...
Was,
wasn't that like 2 years?
That was like a year ago,
no,
wasn't
no,
it?
Well, I don't know. Well, this is the first update in I don't know how long
no,
it was. But
that can't be true. Well,
it is, because they changed all the names of the Ampeg models on the Helix. So that,
right.
Because before they were obviously like...
VST.
Yeah, it was that sort of thing. Whereas now they are all, they just say what the amp is, you know.
Right, okay.
They also added they increased the Ampeg model line. So they added the Ampeg SVT 4 Pro, which is wonderful. Like a gorgeous, really, like really clean Ampeg with a load of tone shaping, because you've got the regular EQ and then you've got a big sort of, I don't know, 7-band parametric on there as well, and one of them that mid-shift control that Ampeg sort of released on a lot of those, the Pro line models. But that was really cool. They also went and did the Ampeg Scrambler drive pedal, and they threw in the Sansamp bass driver as well. Included that. No, I know that's not Ampeg.
Yeah.
But yes, they included the Sansamp bass driver.
What, and it's called the Sansamp bass driver?
Well, actually, that one obviously, no.
Okay,
they've
right.
called that the Zero Amp Bass DI.
Nice. Just to correct you, live correction on the air, so we don't get it in the Facebook group. Uh-huh. It's actually not the first update since they acquired.
Okay, well, it's the first time they've changed the names.
Just
then.
Wanted to, you know,
backtracking. They could have done it at any point, but they chose to do it on this one. And they've added the Moog or Moog Moogafoga.
What have they called that?
The filter for that. They've called it the Asheville pattern.
What's the relevance of that?
I'm not sure.
Asheville, Bob Moog's from?
Yeah, probably where they are. But they've gone
Asheville,
they've,
North Carolina.
You know the Analog Man, Prince of Tone, and King of Tone.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know he's from New York, New York. That's a head of a town.
Yeah. So I hear.
No, he died in Asheville.
Oh, there we go.
Okay, well there you go.
That's sad. I shouldn't have been quite peppy
about that.
I didn't mean to be. Sorry.
But they included the Analog Man, Prince, and King of Tone, which they have named respectively the heir apparent and the Tone Sovereign. So it was quite nice. But it's really good. It's a really good update. There's loads of actual more. Those are the new pedals and amps. Oh, there are a load of new Fender amps on there, Jay. You'll be pleased to know.
I don't think there are.
All these carry over to the Stomp as well, right?
Yeah, that's right. So you get them on the Stomp, the LT, and the regular amp.
I'm sort of tempted by the Stomp.
I mean, it's a fantastic product
for headphones.
Yeah, there's a big actual kind of the brains behind it update as well. So it's not just new stuff. There's also a big upgrade to the way you can use the Helix and things like that as well. But I thought super cool. But you know what? You know what happened at Summer NAMM that I think is very exciting, that is absolutely hot on the heels of this new Helix update?
No, Joe, tell me.
The Kemper Profiler Stage.
Okay, second correction. That did not happen at Summer NAMM.
No, because it hasn't happened. Well,
there's official information about it.
Yeah, but
it didn't
happen at Summer NAMM.
No,
just making. Yeah, I would like to draw attention to the fact that that's two corrections for Joe.
We are known as the factually accurate guitar podcast.
Wow. Factual.
What are you drinking?
The factually accurate.
Right.
Yeah.
And the we're the fattest guitar podcast as well.
PH.
Yeah. Always with a PH.
Yeah.
Double T. We like to get stuff correct.
Yeah. And fat. But yeah, the Kemper Profiler Stage. So so I think actually all of the information isn't supposed to come out until the 24th. But after I think what was initially perceived to be a leak. It's not. It's the 22nd today.
Today is when it goes out.
The podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Today that the podcast is out. Yes.
Today, the date of
There is the full news. Certainly, the initial videos for the Kemper Profiler Stage were claiming, you know, full release on the 24th. But I think after a bit of a leak, they've just gone and thrown a load.
Yeah,
of
I mean that's when it's actually available. But yeah, like now, I mean, all the info is out there. It's on Music Radar and stuff. So. Yeah,
it does look as though they have just brought the release forward
because it
seems weird that they would wait until a handful of days after NAMM.
Mm, yeah.
If that wasn't what the intention was. Because for people who aren't keeping up, there was a leak of this.
Yeah.
By the looks of things, they lent one to someone to do some beta testing, and that person accidentally put a picture of
so
it
good
up on their Instagram.
So good.
But super exciting. I mean, it's kind of about time. But
so just because I did a little bit of reading on this morning, but I didn't get enough time to properly delve into it. What's the deal? Because they already do a foot controller for the Kemper, right?
Yeah.
And this is both a foot controller for the Kemper and a standalone unit that you can use without a Kemper profiling amp.
Yes. So, well, I don't know if it's I don't think it's a foot controller.
No.
No, it would just not be. It is essentially a Helix.
The press release is worded very weirdly. It's not that. It's like a Helix.
I'm sure they're absolutely loving the fact that we're referring to this as like a Helix.
Sure,
by the way.
But you know, it's a good point of reference because it's kind of that is the thing that people kind of see as the floor-based amp modeler.
Yeah,
right now.
Of course. And I mean, a Kemper in head form had the profiler, and they had the power amp, which was their profiler and a power amp, so you could use it as a standalone head. This, of course, doesn't include the power stage, very much like the you know, the rest of them, Helix GT1000. Doesn't come with a an expression pedal, but obviously has an expression pedal in, unlike most of the... most of its competition, I guess, you know, Helix GT1000, the Moore GE300, which we're going to be doing a load of stuff on very soon, as we've just got one.
Oh, have we?
Yeah, so
that's
gonna,
very nice.
Yeah, we're going to...
I'm glad you tell us about these things before we talk about it on air.
Well, I'm going to bring it along next week. We're going to have a bit of a deep dive on it, and we're going to probably talk about it on the episode, see how it compares to the competition. But yes, this the Kemper one looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Sort of, you know, completely obviously in line with... you know, Kemper's kind of visual, and then it has all the additions that you'd expect. So you've got your easy access to a looper, your tap tempo. It looks like this is a cool product. They have priced this quite above the competition.
It's pretty premium, isn't it?
Yeah, but then I think Kemper sort of maintains itself as a premium version of the. Of the various things that you can get. What do you think?
I'm just having a look to see what is the price for the non-amp version of the head.
About $2,000.
No, it's not
UK
that much.
Pounds.
It's not that much.
So it's just called the rack, isn't it? Let's have a look. Kemper profiling rack.
I think it's about £1,300.
Oh, maybe. I mean, that's a great price if it is. Mm. I mean, they've introduced some cool things here. So one of my favorite things about the Helix is the fact that it has a pair of send and returns, much like very much was the cornerstone of the Boss MS3.
Yeah.
Is the fact that you could bring in, you know, outside effects.
You can do that on the Helix, can you?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. You've got two send and returns on the Helix.
Yeah.
And they've included two on the new Kemper,
okay.
As well.
So
yeah.
So MSRP on the profiler rack is $1,695, and they are saying the floor version is $1,450.
Yeah.
So I mean, its pricing seems in line, I guess. Yeah. I mean, yes, it's a different price to something like the Helix, but this is doing a different thing. Obviously, it's got the kind of modeling. It's got the profiling in there. You can profile
your own things, and that is what will always separate Kemper from everything else.
Of course. I wonder. I assume they're making it kind of backwards compatible. You can you can load everything onto your PS1 memory card and transfer it over.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Via the Rumble Pack.
I would assume so. It's got USB in and out, so I assume that there's a way to bring your settings over. It does say that it comes with hundreds of guitar amps, so I assume there's loads of presets and stuff in there, and then obviously you can profile your own as well.
I think that's the big thing, and that is inevitably what will get lost in the noise of people talking about this is, oh, well, it's so much more money than the Helix. It's like, well, yeah, sure, but you can't do this or that with the, you know, they're different products.
I think they
look similar.
Yeah, exactly. I do think it's interesting. I can't decide which is the better idea. So Kemper, you can profile your own amplifiers, which means when you want to update your Kemper, when you want to change the things you have access to, you do it whenever you want. You can do that based on you. Whereas, of course, with the Helix, you're waiting for those updates. But it's like a Christmas present.
Yeah, yeah.
From Helix. Every time they do an update. Now, the other day, I updated to 2.8, and I got, you know, 5 new drives, 10 new amps, and just for typing in my password onto Helix. And that's really cool. That's really fun.
Yeah. I do. I mean, the thing that's kind of always been attractive about the Kemper stuff is let's say your mate's got a studio and he's got, you know, 20 different amps. You could just go there and profile all of those. And to me, that seems cool rather than just waiting to get them, you know, waiting for the company to do them, then you have to download them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's kind of benefits either way, isn't it? If you've got no access to that kind of stuff, then yes, it's probably better if the company provide them for you.
This is kind of it. I do feel with the Kemper profiler, unless you are us, you've got to have plenty of access.
Can you not download other people's profiles?
I guess you can, yeah.
So if someone goes, oh, I've got a really good JCM 800, I've done the profile.
As well as that, people are selling them.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, right. Yeah. There's kind of a like aftermarket, a black market for right. amp profiles that I've seen. And I know a couple of people who've been doing it.
Oh, really?
Not going to grass them up, but you know.
Oh, well, there you go. I mean, certainly with the Line 6 Helix, they have their, I can't remember what it's called, Tone House. A Line 6 Helix.
Tone Cave.
Tone Zone.
Tone Pool. No, I can't remember what it's
Temple
called.
Temple of Tone.
No.
Joe Branton.
I can't remember. It doesn't matter. But the Temple of Tone. Yeah, Line 6 have their own sort of tone website where you can download all the... I can't remember. Where you can download all the different... things for people's built I didn't know why my phone was suddenly on. Did you turn my phone on?
Yeah I do right. that quite regularly.
Where you can download all the different pre-built things. Actually, I did that today. I was downloading people's pre-built dual bass rigs. It was a load of fun. Anyway, we should move on. Did we talk about Boss's synth pedal previously on the podcast?
I don't know, did we?
No, we didn't. I don't think we have. Didn't do any news,
we've just spoken about this so much ourselves. Yeah, between us. I was like, have we done this, Mark? Tell me about the Boss synth thing.
Okay, so there's two new pedals from Boss. Obviously, if Matt was here, he'd do a much better job of talking about them than I will. But the first, the Boss SY1. It's a compact style pedal that just does good synth stuff, basically. It's got 11 different synth types with 11 variations within each.
So 121.
Does it work like that?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. And then obviously you've got some other controls on there as well. You've got like amount of effect, there's tone or rate. You know, those controls vary depending on which synth preset you're on. I think it was super cool. So I had listened to it on the Boss website where they've got a ton of sound samples. And it was actually more usable than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I don't think of a synth pedal as being usable.
No, and you know, it does that thing of like, yes, there's some like drones and stuff in there, but also it's got much more kind of like dynamic stuff, almost kind of wah style effects in there. And you can get like almost like humanizer tones out of it. They describe it as leads, pads, organs, basses, and others. I thought it's a pretty cool thing. And you know, the problem has always been this kind of stuff before is that firstly, you know, those old pedals you needed the pickup for it, the GK system.
Yeah.
And then what was the one they brought out recently? The SY300?
Yeah. It was, which is a lot more money.
A lot more money. And
a big pedal.
Big pedal. Exactly that. Yeah. So yeah, this is the first time really that they've done the kind of good synth thing. Obviously the SYB5 has been around for a while, but it's an old pedal and it's kind of limited in what it does.
But this is kind of the thing, is I don't think anyone's ever going to be using one of these all the time, so no. The choice of either sort of butchering a hole in your guitar to fit the pickup, or
you didn't need to do
I
that.
Know, but you've got to stick it on, haven't you? It depends what
those sticky pads never work very well.
Exactly.
Right?
So it's a choice of either, you know, and it looks rubbish. So it's a choice of either doing that or having a massive amount of real estate dedicated to it. This seems like the right thing, and certainly, according to a poll on the Guitar Nerds Facebook forum, this was the product people were most excited about.
Of Summer Nam?
Of Summer Nam.
Oh, wow. There we go. I didn't expect that at all. Exactly. One thing that's worth mentioning is it is doing... it's not doing the same type of synthesis as, you know, a product where you'd use the GK pickup. Because essentially what that's doing is, you know, it's got that hex pickup so it can better track the individual strings so you can do drums and piano and all that sort of stuff. This is more down the line, I guess, of like, you know, your classic synthesizer pedal, like the Electronmonix pedal, or like I said, SYB5. But it's kind of taking that to the nth degree. You know, you're getting like organ tones and stuff out of it. It seems really cool, but not the only thing that Boss released at Summer Nam. They also announced the RC10R, which is probably it's in the same housing as those other dual pedals they released recently.
All part of the 200 series.
Yes. So this is a new loop station. To be honest, I haven't done too much digging into it because it's a loop station. It's not really my thing. But the key thing seems to be that it's got rhythms built in. So you've got 280 drum patterns supporting almost any musical style, apparently.
Samba.
Yeah, I mean, I doubt there's any, like, you know...
Foxtrot.
Grindcore or anything in there. What was that other? Power Violence.
There'll be blast beats.
Will there?
There'll be a blast beat.
On a Boss Loop station, yeah. There'll be some blast beats.
Well, if not, you can just turn up the BPM.
That's true. Yeah, just go to
turn
anything.
Turn up the BPM on a Foxtrot.
On Samba. And yeah, that's really it. You've got foot-operated drum machine, real-time control over song sections and fills. So I guess they're going after similar to the Digitech Trio, kind of vibe.
Here's the thing. Do you remember the Boss ME50B?
Yeah.
The bass multi.
You're
going to
talk about the kick drum.
It had a manual kick drum. You could turn the wah pedal into a volume pedal into a kick drum that worked. Like you could hit, you used your foot to be like,
and when you did four,
when
in a
you
row,
did four, it then remembered the rough rhythm and would take
the
it
rough
from there.
Rhythm. So,
but yeah, which was a bit annoying because I always wanted to be like, buh, 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 buh.
And didn't do that.
Buh, buh, buh. No, because as soon as you've done four, it starts going, buh, 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 buh.
So it's just a tap tempo.
Yeah, but it makes like a kick drum sound.
Oh, kick drum buh, tempo. Buh,
yeah. Buh.
Yeah.
So 16 different drum kits, again, in a whole range of musical styles. A couple of other things that are interesting. It'll do MIDI in and out on TRS jacks, so no messing around with MIDI cables or anything like that. And you can also send, it's got dual outputs. You can send loops and rhythms to separate.
That is good.
Separate destinations. So you can
that is very good.
You know, you can send your loops out to your guitar amp and you can send the drums and stuff straight to the PA.
Or the other way.
Yeah, send all the drums out to your guitar amp and send just the plain guitar sound out to the PA. It looks like it's kind of almost really a step up from like an RC30. It seems to be doing similar stuff, but in a package that's more in line with what we'd expect from a modern Boss pedal.
Yeah, I think very cool. Do you know a retail price on that?
$299.
Ooh, that's so about like the same pounds. Price as a...
It's a chunk for a looper, isn't
it's,
it?
I think it's somewhere in between RC30 and RC300. Was
it? Right. There's an, oh, yeah, there is a 300. Yeah. The big long one.
Yeah, exactly that. It's somewhere
and
in between
there was
those
the,
two.
And there was the one, that the tabletop one they did.
RC505.
Yeah, RC505.
Just the one for
DJs.
Speaking
of DJs and speaking of synthesizers,
DJ
boys, may I introduce you to Fishman's new Triple Play Connect.
That's right.
Talking about Boss abandoning the idea of a MIDI pickup that you would fit to your guitar. That is exactly what Fishman have just released. Connecting via magnets to the bridge area of your guitar, you can fit this convenient triple play MIDI pickup that works with an app for your iPad or iPhone or possibly Android device. I don't know who has an Android. And you have access to turning your guitar into any type of instrument you want, you know, much like...
Bagpipes.
Yeah, I'm sure bagpipes are there, but there are loads of organs. The app includes things
kidneys.
Like... yeah, you can turn them into kidneys. but... What? No, it's fine. You can turn it into any type of instrument you want. It also gives you access. Oh, I see where you went there. I thought it was more random than that.
No, I don't. No,
that was good. That was more on point. But yeah, you can. The app looks really cool. So you can turn your guitar into loads of different instruments. There's a looper there. You can record riffs that you can then upload via the app to share with people.
I don't think he's ever come out on this show, but for a while when we were working at GAC, we had a character that was basically Tom Morello, but he was explaining how his guitar sounded like a DJ. But
when
for
you
some
say,
reason...
When you say we had a character, you was, mean we had an inside joke?
We had an inside joke that was Tom Morello as a DJ, but for some reason he was Northern. So I go, oh, you know them sounds? It's not a DJ. It's not a DJ. That's me. I'm a guitar. That's not a DJ. And now you can actually do that.
That's
new Fishman Triple Play. It's not a DJ. It's me.
Oh, God.
The Triple Play, I tell you what, it was pre-revolutionary when it came out.
Yeah.
I remember we could not get enough of them. They were. No, we couldn't get enough of them.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. They were really popular. Really, really popular. I think it's because it was one of the first pickups the first aftermarket pickups that did this. Yeah. I know that Roland did something and they had the GK5. Yeah,
but you had to get the specific GK3? Pedals. Do you remember they had like, you had to get the octave pedal if you wanted to do the octave effects with it. You had to get the synth pedal if you wanted to do the synth effects with it. It was too much gear.
The triple play was really pretty impressive when it came out. So the fact that this, you know, they've brought out a new version of it, it's very cool.
This is cool. This is a ton of fun. Obviously, it's not something I think anyone should take too seriously. It's a fun thing for like recording your own loops or, you know, making your guitar sound like a bagpipe. I kind of like that at the bottom of the app, it shows you your fretboard. And you can watch on the Fishman website, listener, there are loads of mini videos, like super cheesy little videos that they've made of people like playing tracks in. And it like moves around. There's a little dot that moves around on the fretboard, depending on where you're playing, like real time with what you're doing. And I was like, wow, that is pretty cool. But yeah, that is the Fishman Triple Play, an absolutely ridiculous product. Jay Cross Fender released so much stuff. I don't know what you want to start with.
Yeah, I mean, this is why I was away for so much of the summer, basically, because we were doing tours, going to shops, going to kind of trade events and telling people about all the stuff, telling, you know, guitar shops and telling the press about all the stuff that we've got coming up. So the fact that very little of it leaked out was actually pretty exciting.
Yeah.
So I don't really know where to start because, like you say, there's so much to talk about. I guess probably I don't want to take up the whole thing, but I guess we should start with the Squire stuff.
Because yeah, I think the Squire stuff's the most
The Squire
exciting.
Stuff is so cool. So basically, carrying on from the refresh of the Classic Vibe line at Winter NAMM, there's a load more guitars and basses within that line. So I'll just kind of blitz through them and stop if you want me to. Tell me to stop if you want me to. But so 50 Strat.
Yeah.
Wasn't this already available? A classic 550 Strat.
Yes, it was. But basically, so my understanding, I'm not 100% sure, but my understanding is the stuff that came out at Winter NAMM was basically the vintage modified stuff coming into the classic vibe series. And this is now more the stuff that was Classic Vibe being refreshed.
Got it.
So,
Is it just colors or is it?
No.
There were some pickups. There were some.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Cool, all right, new cool stuff as well.
And there's some very cool new stuff. But yeah, basically, you've got all your standards.
Go through all the standards 50, and then we'll talk about the fun things.
So 50 Strat in, you know, a bunch of colours, including Fiesta Red, which is very exciting.
Very exciting, because that was only available before as a Simon Neil.
No, you could get it as a Classic Vibe.
Oh, could you?
Yeah, but right, also existed as a Simon Neil. But that's really cool. 60 Strat, so
Lake Placid Blue.
Laurel board, yeah, I think.
It's all Indian Laurel now on the Yanny. All of the Squire stuff.
No, Laurel.
Laurel.
50s Telly, so Butterscotch Blonde Telly. 60s Telly Custom. 60s Telly Thin Line, which is very cool.
Is that new? Because that wasn't that
There was one, if you remember back in the day, there was one of the early
classic five.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. But yeah, so there's another one, which is cool. And then the basses are very cool. They're coming a little bit later. The guitars are coming out sooner, but there's going to be a 50s precision bass
back again
in a proper 50s non-split single coil P bass.
Very cool.
Pickup. It looks fantastic. The plate I've never really got on with.
Because they've done a white plate rather than a black plate.
Well, also it's just that like upside down pick guard.
Oh, you don't like that?
I'm not a big fan of that. Yeah, but it's a bass that you can't... The only other place you can buy that is Custom Shop.
Well, essentially, because they now offer it in Sunburst. Now, originally, they did do, previously in the Classic 5 series, they did do this bass in blonde with a black guard.
I remember.
And then they released the lighter colour with the white, which is there. But now there's a Sunburst with a white guard, which is essentially a Sting signature.
Yeah,
model.
Totally.
That's what I was going to say.
And the thing is, those basses were really popular, and they were like £800.
Yeah.
And we know the quality of the Classic 5 stuff, so that's very cool.
That is really exciting.
Talking about Sting, just a quick aside, because that's what we do. I watched the Sting and Shaggy Tiny Desk concert the other day.
He's playing an SG. Oh, no, that's in the music video.
Yeah, so Tiny Desk Concert is a thing run. It's the YouTube channel, I think, of All Songs Considered, which is an NPR podcast, I think. I think all those details are correct. And they get people into the studio to do the songs, mostly off their new album, but also some classics. And they're literally sat in the offices behind someone's desk. And usually it'll be, you know, a couple of people playing guitar. And, ooh, that's also reminded me of another tangent. I've got to talk about something I bought in the Patreon. We'll do that in the Patreon. So they do these concerts behind the desk, and yeah, usually it's like...
How big's the desk?
It's a tiny desk.
Oh, okay.
And it will be a couple people usually, maybe, you know, a couple people on guitar and maybe a couple singers and stuff. The Sting and Shaggy Tiny Desk concert is really good.
Oh, no.
And I wouldn't...
No.
I don't even like the Police. I'm a big fan of Shaggy, admittedly, but I don't like the Police particularly. But the Tiny Desk concert is so good. Sting playing bass... doing loads of cool stuff on the proper Sting bass. He's not like just bought, you know, like something cheap along with him to the gig. He's bought the one. Shaggy's just singing, wearing all denim, loving
it. Of course.
And they've got a couple backing singers, and then they've got a guy playing an acoustic. I think it's a Gibson acoustic, but like pretty much exactly as you would hear on like the Police records. And it sounds so good. Like, I can't even tell you. You have to go and watch it. It's so good. Sting and Shaggy.
I can't believe they're just, like, mates.
Yeah.
Do you know? Totally. It's just so funny.
It's like, when they're playing together, it's, like, not even ridiculous. You're like, yeah, this works. I'm into it. Anyway.
So, okay, so that's the 50s P-Bass. It really does look amazing.
Yeah, very cool.
I prefer the white one to the Sunburst one, but the whole thing looks great.
A welcome addition, definitely.
70s P-Bass, which again looks absolutely banging.
Now, they did this before, but it was black with a black plate.
And you can still get black with a black plate, but you now also can get a walnut with big block inlays.
Very 70s.
It looks amazing. I really like it. Classic vibe, Jag bass, which has got...
Concentric controls,
PJ configuration. The one for me, the cream of the whole thing, is the 60s Mustang bass.
It's Olympic white, mate.
No, that's cream.
Okay.
Yeah. So absolutely fantastic. Proper, again, split Mustang single coil pickup.
Proper Mustang pickup.
It looks amazing. And they're like 350 quid.
Yeah, I kind of do think at this price point, because it's so close to the offset PJ Mustang that Fender do, I don't know if it's going to sort of put those ones out a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know, really. I don't know.
I mean, I guess it depends whether you're buying something for... I mean, PJ is definitely going to be more flexible, isn't it?
The other side of that, though, is the Classic Vibe line has always sat pretty close to the lower-end Mexico stuff. Yeah. So, you know, it's no different to the conversation that we've had on here a million times, which is someone coming in asking what Taylor we should buy, me suggesting a Classic Vibe, and then walking away with a Fender one, you know, a Fender standard Telly.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's exactly the same. It's I think this whole line is quality. So that's that. What should we do next?
Well, the other thing that
the other Squire stuff.
Well, this is the point. Yeah, I mean, Squire have knocked it out of the park. Even when we talk about the Shellpink HSS Affinity Stratocaster, that is very
bullet,
very cool.
Bullet Affinity. Oh, is it Affinity or is it Bullet?
I thought it was Affinity, but I can't remember. I'm not sure. Nonetheless, it was around 150 British pounds for a Shellpink HSS, like, which is the best moddable pickup configuration. On a Strat. That is very, very cool. But more exciting than that, another addition to the Classic Vibe series, which also got an Affinity and also got a Contemporary
Bullet HSS.
Active.
Bullet, not Affinity.
Oh, sorry, Bullet. That also got an Affinity and a Contemporary Active, the Starcaster.
Yeah, so
back
this...
in three different versions.
So I knew about this ages ago, and I've had to keep it
this
well
is
under wraps.
Outrageous.
A lot of other people, I think.
Well, yes, okay, so this did kind of slip out. Yeah, it did. But that's fine. So yes, as you say, the three Squire series, so the Classic Vibe, the Contemporary, and the Affinity. So Starcasters are all three price points, essentially. So
outrageous.
With the Classic Vibe, you can get it in Sunburst, you can get it in Black, and you can get it in Walnut, I think.
Yeah, I think, no, it's not, is it, are you sure it's,
I think it's Walnut
and not Natural? Because it might
no,
be Walnut.
No, I think it's Walnut.
I think you're right.
I'm pretty sure it's Walnut. So that's really cool. It's got new pickups in.
They're still the wide range humbuckers.
They are, yeah, and it's just amazing.
They're such gorgeous guitars, and the fact that, it was always something that I kind of fancied the idea of, but before when it was only available as either a classic or a classic player, I can't remember what series.
It was a modern player.
Modern player, that was it. And it was still, I think there was still like 650, 700 quid. And I was like, I really like this idea. I really want one, but it's not going to be my main guitar. And that's just past the amount of money I want to spend on something that's a bit of fun.
Totally. And, you know, if you want to go even further into that line, the fact that there's an Affinity as well. Oh. So the Affinity comes in white, black and red. Just red and white, I think, are the two finishes on that.
No, it does. They do a black. Yeah, okay. there's a black, a white, and a gorgeous candy apple.
So those are just open coil humbuckers.
It's maple necks. They've made the headstock more simple as well on the
Affinity. No, the headstock
ones.
Is the same. It just doesn't have the swoop.
Yes, so it's the shape is the same, but there's like there's a black swoop, as Jay put it, on the bottom of a Starcaster headstock. It's just plain maple on this. I kind of loved how simply it looked. It reminded me of like the Jennings headstocks that they have on there. On their telly style guitars, but
for me that might be the best looking one out of the three.
I think it looks fantastic. What a wonderful moddable instrument!
Yeah,
as well.
I think so. I think that's where most of these are going to go. Excellent. And then the other one is the Contemporary,
which is the
series.
Most exciting.
So this is the one that's going to split opinion the most. So this because this follows on from the rest of the Contemporary series, which is the Jazzmaster and Strat and Telly, which were announced last year.
Yeah.
So this has got 12-inch radio.
Yep.
So super flat and no F holes,
so
which
that's
is very
great.
Weird.
It's still semi-hollowed, but it's sealed to reduce feedback because of course it's got the
active humbuckers,
the SQR,
which are the same pickups that are in the Strat and the Telly and the Jazzmaster. What's really cool about this is with the rest of the Contemporary series, the Strats and Tellys and Jazzmaster, they've all got matching headstock.
Right.
So in order to keep that aesthetic, the swoop at the end of the headstock, it changes color depending on what color.
Oh my goodness!
It looks
guitar
mega.
You've
and,
got,
and the fact that it's available in Surf Pearl.
Surf Pearl, it looks amazing, mate. Honestly, it looks absolutely incredible.
What are the other colors available? In this
Surf
range?
Pearl, some sort of blue.
Yeah, that's. Oh yes, there's a really gorgeous blue that I like, kind of a Pelamy sort of thing. What's the Fender version of Pelham? Lake Placid.
Yes.
But I think this is lighter than that. Color, I think it's lighter than that. Do you remember that awful Mexican blue?
Agave.
Is it called agave?
Agave blue.
It looks more like that, but it really works on the Starcaster. I'm really into the colour range of these. I love the EMG style SQR active humbuckers, simplify controls as well, where you get sort of individual volume and tone on the classic player. You just get a master volume, master tone, and a three-way toggle.
Ice blue metallic.
Ice blue metallic
is
the
other color. So flat black, wow. Surf pearl, ice blue metallic.
Flat black as well.
Just for a metal band, do you know what I mean?
Well, totally. So cool. And like I say, I mean, it's going to split opinion because a lot of people will say, well, you know, this guitar's mad enough. Why are you making it so mad? I agree. Why not? Secondly, I think people like Jim Root, people like Ben Wyman, I think they've kind of changed the conversation about what a metal guitar can be.
Yeah, metal guitars don't have to sort of, you know, look like weird, shiny sort of spaceship.
Well, I just
think,
you know, it does just, sometimes it needs a big name like that to kind of change the conversation. Yeah. And I do think that's what's happened. I could quite easily see, you know, Jim Root or John Five or Ben Wyman or someone like that using one of these.
Well, Jim Root's had every other guitar shape.
Totally.
But I'd love to see a signature model. I'd love to see this range now kind of continue and expand. I think the contemporary
stuff. What can you do? Oh, you mean contemporary?
Yeah, the contemporary stuff specifically, it's as in I feel like the Squire Contemporary series are Fender like dipping their toes in the sort of modern active metal area, which is something they've tried before with that the Chinese series of Fenders.
The modern players.
Was that what they were called?
Yeah.
We mentioned those again earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, how about that? But it was kind of what they were doing with some of those. They were just trying stuff and then, you know, seeing if it worked and then running with it if it did and not if it didn't. I'd love to see these this sort of active sort of modern metal pickup style guitars expand into a whole range of Fender stuff.
Well,
again.
You know, you heard it here first. Hey. Eight string Starcaster coming summer now 2020.
That is absolutely the dream. Right. Where do we go? You've got more stuff.
Well, I guess there's two other ranges that we should probably touch on very briefly, just because I think it's the core range.
I think we're going to be doing more news in the Patreon this week as well, because there's too much.
So, penultimately, Tone Master.
Tone Master amps. Oh, right, yes. Okay, so I didn't read too much of these because it sounded complicated and I figured you'd tell me on the podcast. What is happening here?
Okay.
Why are Fender making digital amps that don't look like digital amps?
Because do you know the big problem with digital amps?
What?
They look like digital amps.
Yeah, they don't look like katanas, they're not very good looking.
They don't look like... Well, actually, I think the katana is probably...
Katana looks great.
An outlier in that. But
I might still change the grill cloth, but I think it looks good as is.
Basically, one of the things that's really put people off, I mean, in my experience, going for these sort of things, is they don't always look great.
Right.
And what... the Tone Master ranges is a twin and a deluxe that are essentially digital modeling amps. But rather than having loads of options like a Kemper or like a Helix or like a Katana even, all the processing power is pumped into making one amp and making it really, really good.
Oh, right. So this isn't even the same software that was turning up on the Mustang GTs?
It is not, no. It's completely different.
Because I thought they were rehoused GTs at first, and then I saw the price tag and I was like, oh, there must be something more here.
Yeah, so basically it's the same chassis and the same control plate as a Deluxe and as a 65 Twin.
Right, so there's no digital screen or anything?
No, there's no digital screen.
That's cool.
When you look at it, the only discernible difference between a Tone Master Deluxe and a 65 Deluxe is the fact that this has a little badge on it that says Tone Master, which I think you can take off.
Unofficially.
I mean, do what you want. And then come speak to me when you need a new... No, don't do that. So they are... They're the same control plates. They are machined in the same... They're machined in the factory, in the Corona factory. Along with the rest of the amps. It's just they don't have any valves in them. They don't have a big output transformer in them.
Right.
It's completely digital. The chassis itself is super lightweight marine birch ply. I actually think it's a better cabinet than the 65s because it's a lighter, more durable wood.
So what you're offering is a super reliable, lightweight version of an existing product. And are they modelled specifically then just after the products that they're imitating?
Yes.
There is no there's because that seems to be to me like one of the obvious things that you do when you make a digital amp. What you lose your vowels, but what you gain is versatility.
Yeah,
but you're not gaining that here.
No,
you're just gaining.
Well, you're gaining versatility in so far as one of the big problems with a twin is that it is really, really loud.
Yeah.
And you can't get it to a gigable volume. So one of the things that I found really interesting watching the footage and watching the coverage of this is people talking about all the amps that twins have been on. So, right. For example, the first Sex Pistols record was...
All the records that twins have been on.
Yeah, what did I say?
Amps.
All the records, like, sorry.
What?
All the records that twins have been on. So, for example, the first Sex Pistols record was a twin turned all the way up.
Right.
And the problem is no, like, have you, I've worked in a guitar shop for 10 years. I never heard a twin turn the whole way up. I've put on gigs I've been going to gigs for 20 years. I've never heard a twin turned all the way up. It's too loud. When you turn a twin up, it sounds amazing. It sounds absolutely amazing.
So there's attenuation now.
So yeah, basically there's attenuation in there. There's also the ability to switch between, there's two IRs loaded in there, or you can upload your own. So there's XLR out. You've
right,
got the
so
ability
the speakers as well are an FRFR.
No, they're not FRFR. No, the right. Speaker.
There's no cab modeling going on, I imagine.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. It's using the proper speaker. It's using the speakers. So basically, and I don't know the ins and outs of how it all works, but the digital stuff is going on in the brain, and then it gets fed through to the
okay, professor.
It gets fed through to the speaker. But you can change the speaker if you wanted to. And the speaker that's in there is a lightweight Celestion Neo speaker,
right?
But you could swap that out and stick a greenback in there,
I see.
And it would respond in the same way that a deluxe would if you put a greenback in there.
It's a really interesting. I tell you what, it's an odd product.
I tell you the thing to do is watch.
Want to hear it?
Well, I would definitely recommend. So Andertons did actually a really good video on it, and what they did was they had two deluxes and two twins behind them, and they were. And they didn't know which was which. They covered up the badges and everything.
Right.
And they played through and they tried to...
That's cool.
They let you guess what it was.
Right.
And basically, all the reaction I've seen on the Guitar Nerds group is everyone got it wrong.
Really?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It really does sound great. And the thing is they weigh half the amount.
Yeah, that's cool.
So
that's very cool.
You know, and like I said in the group, they're totally going to split opinion. Lots of people are going to be bored of me talking about it already, right. And I get that. Lots of people are all about valves, and that's totally fine. That's no dramas. You can still buy a 65 Deluxe. You can still buy a 20.
Yeah, it's not replacing anything.
No.
It's just an extra.
It's just offering an option for someone who wants that sound, but wants it in 2019. So wants the convenience and portability.
Fair enough. I'm surprised it's not been released in a full series. Like if you're going to do it, every Fender amp now also available as a digital.
Yeah,
thing.
But I mean that's kind of just a bit overkill, isn't it?
I guess so.
And realistically, do you need to do a lightweight version of a Blues Junior?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You need the lightweight twin because people want a twin, but they don't want to carry it around.
To carry a twin,
I've told this story a bunch of times, but I bought a twin, and I took it to one gig. And on the drive home from the gig, I went back to the shop and dropped it back off because I didn't want to carry it home.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm genuinely interested in these.
Cool.
I think they'll be very cool.
Interesting.
But yes, enough of me talking about that. The real exciting stuff.
Oh my God, there's more?
Is the pedals.
Okay. All right.
Are we not okay for time?
No. We're going to do an extended episode because I want to get more of this stuff in.
Okay. And again, I'm just going to blitz through these real quick. So let's go.
Let me break up the pedals quickly, and I ask Mark Packham about something else because it's got a better segue.
Well, why don't we do pedals in the Patreon because we've done quite a lot of Fender.
Yeah,
sure.
Okay, all right, Mark. I want to talk to you about speaking. Oh, yeah, I want to do the segue. Speaking of amplifiers that don't have vowels in, talk to me about Electro-Harmonic's foray into amplification.
You say foray, but
this is a reissue. The amp that they've released is actually, yeah,
yes, a reissue. So the Dirt Road Special guitar amp, originally released in the 1970s, but upgraded to modern spec and a beefed up mechanical design for rugged durability. Crikey. Is how they're selling it. So it's a all transistor amp, 40 watts, 12 inch speaker. It has a
it's a lovely little combo.
It looks fantastic. I mean, it's pretty like boxy.
It's very basic and box shaped.
It's not particularly kind of flamboyant in design. It is just a black box with the Electro-Harmonics.
But on that note, of simplicity, I love the fact that they've gone like tone shaping on it, EQ on it, just a master tone.
Yeah.
And then an additional tone control to that. I think they called it Bite, which is just upper harmonics.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
So almost like the...
like a presence control.
Yeah, like that presence control. No, what was it called on the PV stuff? It wasn't called presence. It was
Grit?
Called... No, it was called something else. But yeah, the idea is, yeah, you just basically get kind of a bit more control over the top end. But one of the key things is it's got a Holy Grail built in.
Holy Grail Max.
Holy Grail Max. So you've got spring plate, hall, and reverse reverb included in the amp. And that's it, really. There's not a huge amount to say.
Those reverbs are controllable via a foot switch as well. And you can, it's a double foot switch, so you can turn the reverb on and off, and you can scroll through the types of reverb.
Yes. It just looks like a great little product. The demo that I heard, really good. I mean, the demos were pretty much off the kind of show floor, so always difficult to know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm into it. Electro-Harmonics do this occasionally. They just release like a product that's aside from the pedals, and you're like, yeah, that's cool. I'm into it. Like when they did like the Valve rack gear and stuff like that. It's like,
oh, they did a really expensive compressor,
didn't they? NY1A, I think it was
something
called,
like that. It was enormous money. It was like $2,000.
I think it was more than that, actually. I think it was the figure I've got in my head is $3,000. These certainly aren't that much money, but I actually don't have the price here. Have you got it?
No. I was looking for it as well, actually, when I was writing something on it earlier.
I can't imagine these are going to be a huge amount, but they seem super cool. Yeah, just something a bit different, you know. I think they want something that's going to sound great when you plug a load of pedals into it, and this most certainly will.
That's what they're saying. Like, it's designed, you know, clean pedal platform, but you know, sounds great on its Todd, and with that reverb built in, like what you've got is a clean, sparkly, spanky amplifier and a really revered reverb. All kind of I love it. I hope it's reasonably priced. I assume it will be.
Yeah, I mean, think about their pedals. They're not a lot of money, are they? I think the amp's probably going to go down the same route.
Sticking with Electro-Harmonics for a moment, we never got around to talking about the tri-parallel mixer.
Oh, yeah, their sort of foot pedal mixer thing.
Yeah,
it's like a ABY...
Well, it's like an ABC, really. But it's ABC, but with loops.
Yeah.
And I'm really into the idea of it. I think it sounds fantastic, and I think I'm going to buy one.
Oh, really?
So basically, what you've got is three loops controlled by one pedal that has got three switches on there, and you've got individual volume for each of the loops, plus I think input and output volume.
Right.
So, you know, super, super controllable, so you can get everything balanced if you're using loads of weird pedals. It allows you to bring in the pedals in parallel, hence tri-parallel mixer. Uh-huh. Or you can have it set up so that it will switch between. So when you turn one on, the other one will turn off.
Oh, that's very useful.
You can use it to control multiple amps as well, so you can split your signal off. But the thing that I'm really into is the fact that you can blend in the signal with your clean tone as well. So it'll keep your clean tone separate.
That is what you want. That is what you want.
So the thing that's really caught my imagination with this is my harmonic percolator. Yeah. I absolutely love, but it's so destructive. It's so destructive, and whenever you turn it on, it just kind of dominates the sonics of the sound. And for the stuff that I do, which is, you know, kind of punchy mid-tone bass, I don't want it to be completely destructive, but I do want that kind of bonkers harmonic percolator in there sometimes. So what I want to do is have that in a loop alongside my standard drive pedal so that I can kick it in when I want to, but it doesn't dominate and Absolutely. You don't lose all of the low end and mid range, which I'm all about.
Very cool.
I think it's a fantastic piece of kit. And I'm sure that, you know, if I had an ESA or maybe an MS3, it would do that. But I just think this is great. Really cool. And utilitarian. I mean, you know, utility pedals, it's what I'm all about. Like, I don't want anything that actually makes any sound.
Count as an accessory, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. That is exactly it. It's an accessory.
Okay, so one more product before we wrap up. Game Changer Audio.
Yes.
And Jack White, one of the coolest sort of, you know, weird effects guys to make it in the mainstream. Jack White and his record label, Third Man Records, have teamed up with Game Changer Audio, who, of course, the wackiest, craziest effects pedal company to come out in a while, of course, with their 2017 Plus pedal was their sort of big, you know, explosion onto the scene. And, of course, last year they introduced the Plasma Coil, which was their sort of distortion stroke fuzz pedal, which it had a bolt of electricity that I believe was conducting 3,500 volts worth of electricity through the pedal, and that's how it kind of created its drive sound. Well,
I was going to say it was the only thing I saw at that modular festival that I knew what it actually did.
Oh, really?
Because I saw the rack mounted version. I saw the modular version.
Of
I was like,
course.
I know that. Okay, yeah, I understand that bit. Don't know what anything else does.
That is, of course, they did that rack mount version as well. Well, they've teamed up with Jack White and Third Man Records to release another version of this. So this is now the, what do they call it? They call it the Plasma Coil Octave Fuzz, because that's the addition. It has Jack White, very known for his sort of high octave super fuzzness. They have
fuzzness.
They have changed the blend control on the Plasma Coil for a rotary control that's giving you access to multiple
the
octave.
Third Man Records back catalog. I really want to listen to that new Hives record.
Yeah, they released the Hives.
Yeah, yeah,
Third Man.
Just dial that in.
Yeah, they do. Okay. Yeah, of course. Jack White's got taste. But yeah, so you've got access to different types of octave on that third control instead of a blend. So it is always full octave fuzz. The best thing about this is, of course, you have Jack White doing the demo videos for it. So it's absolutely bonkers. Yeah, it's just a track that he's recorded with the drummer from Raconteurs. Actually, I think it's the drummer from Raconteurs. I couldn't quite see, but I think it was the other guitarist from Raconteurs playing drums.
Okay.
But he's playing drums standing up. It's very cool.
I need to watch this
but
video.
But Jack White's just making the craziest noises you've ever heard. It sounded fantastic. It sounded like the maddest octave fuzz. Like, no octave fuzz had sounded this bonkers before. But, of course, how do you judge when someone like Jack White is playing it? Like, it might well be very tame. But it sounded incredible. And available in black or yellow, which is interesting.
Weirdly, the yellow one is $50 more.
Is it?
Yeah, $300 for the black one or $350 for the yellow one.
If it's knowing Jack White and kind of the if Third Man Records are involved, it's probably kind of a limited.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's like coloured vinyl.
Yellow is the Third Man.
That's
Records
their
colour.
Like aesthetic. Yeah,
right. But you can only purchase it through the Third Man Records website as well. Only available for pre-order at the moment as well.
Interesting.
But very really cool, and I think great for Game Changer because there's such a. I know they're obviously in most large shops now, but there is still such a small company only 3-4 years ago. I think what a wonderful thing to get to hook up with someone like Jack.
Totally
like this out. What a super cool pedal. Anyway, that does kind of bring us up for time on this week's regular episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. We'll continue over on the Patreon and we'll do the rest of the awesome releases from Summer NAMM 2019 there. You can support us on Patreon for as little as $1 a month. $1 a month gets you the regular episode ad-free and early. $5 a month gets you the Patreon episode plus all of our other bonus stuff. And $10 a month makes you an executive producer and gets your name read out in one breath by me.
Is there some more names on here?
There is. We got an extra one. We got an extra one, but we lost one, so it's the same amount.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that I'm still going to sort of make it there by the skin of my
teeth. I guess it depends on how many...
An extra syllable.
I like how you've checked that. Okay, lovely.
Okay, here's your money's worth, everyone.
Mirren Peters, Stuart Robson, Jeffrey Works, Joshua Mitchell, Christian Lundhansen, John Pearson, John Mayer, Slowly Burning in a Dancing Room, Zach Melton, Keith Adams, Steve Ferguson, Eric Powell, Christopher Franklin, Andy Joyce, John Anglin, Adam Rice Coast, Jack Cutmore, Robert Cousins, Rob Crew, Scott Hamilton, Tucker Amadon, Arnie Cooper, Russ Edwards, Nate Nagel, Stephen Hench, Rob Roberts, Dave Lee, Emmy James, Michael One, Corey Aaron, Sherman, Blake One, and Andrew Goody, Jamie Kemp, Jake Gray, Matt Bellamy, Martin Cliff, Scott Kennedy, Christopher Lawson, Hans Arms, Robert Smith, Derek Rich, Chris Connors, Rod Nordwick, Duncan Watson, Ed Bentley, Steve Michael, DJ Mark Ross, Michael McRae, Carlos Mancha, Andy McKenzie, Brad Rage, Blair Tom, Scott O'Brien, Laurie Anstis, Paul Corrigan, Will Clare, Moo Gromit, Phil Thompson, Adrian Dye, Ken Sayers, Matthew King, Scott Kane, Sean Over, Christopher Wolver, Chopperson.
That was the reason that I stopped doing the like song in the background. Was like, I think Joe's gonna die.
You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter.
One more is going to get him.
Yeah,
that's all we really need. One more $10 patron.
I tell you what, I'm actually the thing I think is very impressive is how you are able to like actually compose yourself and jump back in so quickly.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that means a lot. Thanks.
Because it is quite a task.
You know, all the oxygen just disappearing from your blood.
I don't use it that much. It's
okay,
fine.
Yeah, it's good.
Follow us on Instagram, at Twitter, at Guitar Nerds. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/Guitar Nerds Forum. And watch our videos on youtube.com/Guitar Nerds.
Don't do it.
That's it for us this week. We'll be continuing over on the Patreon for more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Cheers, gang.
Bye-bye.